At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast, a new football podcast through the Believe Network. My name is James H. Williams. I'm a reporter for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. I'm joined by my co-host and former UCLA linebacker, Josh Woods. Josh, tell the people what's up and a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
How's everybody doing? I'm just excited, you know, for this opportunity to start this podcast with you, James. Like you said, UCLA Bruin. I signed in 2015, played until the 2019 season, right before COVID. I played linebacker there. Going into why I signed to UCLA, I mean, being a SoCal kid from the Inland Empire, pretty local, I wanted to go somewhere where, I mean, of course, where football was, you know, big and was sending, you know, guys in my position and things like that to the next level.
LBU, right?
I wanted, I'm saying I'm going somewhere where I'm seeing some of the best in the country, you know, where they're getting developed at. That, along with, I wanted to go to a good school, you know, academic wise. That was really important to me. And there's only a few on the, on like the West Coast that I believe that like are on that level. So, I mean, it was pretty much like UCLA or try to get into Stanford for me.
So USC was never an option.
But the thing about that is both my parents went to USC and that's how they met. So okay. I grew up a diehard SC fan.
Yes. My family did too. We're like all USC. And I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, it's hard not to in the era that we were here. I mean,
And during like growing up, I mean, they were like the team, right? Like,
you know what I'm saying, if you're in Southern California, let alone across the country, who didn't want to be Reggie Bush growing up? So, like I said, diehard SC fan growing up, probably wasn't until high school where I started, you know, coming to myself and really understanding and learning about like how college works and football and not just what teams are like, but like what teams and situations would cater to me, my style of play. Right. And UCLA, when Jim Mora was there, the Bruin Revolution, everything he embodied in the program was exactly I saw myself fit. I could see the play styles of Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks and Miles Jack. I loved how watching them and seeing how they were playing. And I felt like I could fit that system, where that school across the street that I mentioned before, I feel like I didn't fit chemistry wise, I don't think I'd fit, you know, in that system. So I felt like I made the best decision for me. And down to the wire, the only school that I was considering was Oregon, which is ironic because UCLA at the back end of my career at UCLA, having Chip Kelly come and then having a coach like Don Pelham who recruited me to go to Oregon. So it's like, even though I picked to come to UCLA, right. I still got the
you still got it right
from yeah from Oregon. So that was my journey to UCLA. At UCLA, I had a lot of ups and downs playing there between coaching changes, teammates coming and going, and just injuries. Had two season-ending injuries with my shoulder and my knee. You were saying something?
No, yeah. I think, like, so for me personally, when I was asked, hey, do you, you know, the Believe Network came along randomly one day and just asked, like, hey, do you want to do UCLA football podcast? You know, we do podcasts. We kind of partner a media member more or less up with a former player from that program that the podcast is going to be about. And from I was like, yeah, sure. You know, I've covered UCLA football since 2019, which was your last year there with the program. That's when I started. And yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, I'll do the podcast, but I'm like, I really kind of wanted to be with someone that I'm kind of familiar with. I know their story. Like, I know, you know, how I'd be able to bounce off that person. Right. And for me, it was like, no brainer. First thought, Josh Woods. Just, I covered you in high school a little bit when you were at Upland High, both you and former Washington State quarterback, Tyler Helinski. I remember you guys were on our Inland Empire for the Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, San Bernardino Sun High School magazine cover. We had some of those guys. We had some of you, or it was like Tyler Helinski, Lo Kenny, and Damian Alloway. Yeah, who was Damian also Alloway. A former UCLA guy too, right?
Oh, so yeah.
Damian Alloway and Lo Kenny were both UCLA guys as well. I believe you were probably in there on the cover, not on the cover, but on that Upland page, because you guys were pretty solid that year. But speaking of Upland, and again, so just with that being said, and a lot of what we talked about there is going to be kind of like the foundation and the kind of like where we're going to go with this podcast, right? It's going to be kind of things that we know about each other, just from I'll maybe throw questions at you from your time in high school, or what I remember us talking about at the time while you were at UCLA, and using some of your experience at UCLA to kind of relate or put things into perspective with whatever the current situations are during this offseason and during the actual gameplay, game regular season and whatnot. So yeah, that's kind of the direction of the podcast. But, you know, we talked a little bit about your story. You were you are part of a family that grew up watching USC. You guys made the jump to UCLA. But you kind of hinted at it. And the first question that came to mind when you said this was, you started, you know, you grew up with USC, but then as you kind of learned more about the linebacker position and who are some of the guys and that UCLA was a place to be if you're a linebacker, for example. How did that interest start from UCLA side? How do they reach out to you? How do you get in contact with Jim Mora? Like, how do you become a Bruin? Does Jim Mora send you a letter like they used to do back in the day? I guess they still send scholarship or interest letters and stuff like that in the mail, right?
I mean, yeah, my time was still a lot of mail. Social media was like starting to become the thing, as far as like some coaches were messaging you on Facebook, and then some started messaging you on Twitter. But the way that I started the relationship and started getting recruited by UCLA, Coach Demetrius Martin, Coach Meat, who, I mean, if you're a real UCLA fan and in the past decade, you know that name. So DB coach now at University of Oregon. He comes to Upland, I walk into the weight room, and he goes, you look like Anthony Barr. He tells you like, oh, you look like a little,
that's Anthony the first Barr. Thing he tells you.
First thing he tells me, he's like, oh, I got to bring I got to bring Coach Orbrick, who other, I mean, if you've been here again in the past decade for UCLA football, you know, Coach Orbrick, who's now, I believe, the DC for the Jets. Like, I got to bring Coach Brick to see you. And this is like, I transferred to Upland, right? So I didn't get to play my junior year. So, which majority of football fans know, in the recruiting of college football. Like, you get recruited based usually off your junior tape, but I didn't have junior tape, and I played 2 years in Victorville.
And I played. Do you know that at the time when you're transferring to, like, you know, like the junior year is the year when they start looking, like, do you know all that? Does that make you nervous? Or,
I mean, yeah. I mean, as a kid, like, it hurt. I didn't know transferring and moving that I would have to sit out the season.
Yeah.
Cause now, I mean, I'm pretty sure the transfer rules are a lot different, even in high school.
Yeah. It's changed quite a bit over the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm like, I mean, I was pretty much heartbroken as a kid. So I'm thinking like, dang, this might ruin my chances and this and that. But thank God for the opportunities that I had. And college coaches seen me and took a chance on me, especially because I only had running back film from my first 2 years of high school. So going, transferring schools, my junior year is when I really started playing linebacker. And then even before I started, I even had tape. Like I said, coaches were coming and seeing me and being like, off of the eye test alone, like, oh, you can be, you look like you can be this, like we can develop you this. It's like I said, Coach Meat sees me, says I need to bring Coach Brick. Coach Brick sees me. And then like, he's juice. And though, if anybody knows Coach Ulbrich, like he's like, as soon as he sees you, he's going to put his hands on you, start wrestling with you, like fighting you, you know, like just to seeing like what your energy is.
Right. Right.
And I mean, we had like a great relationship. I still, like every now and then still have communication with him, especially Coach Meat is like an uncle to me. Really, really good people. But that's how I started getting recruited. And then they had me come for the summer camps that they run for they evaluate recruits, like high school kids.
Yeah. Like local days or something like that, where the local talent kind of comes out.
Yeah. Whether
whatever they call it. Everyone's calls it a little something.
Yeah. So I go to that, and that's when I really start meeting Coach Mora and even some of the other players. Like, I remember that day I met John Brown, I met Eric Kendricks, you know, some of the other guys. But I did my that was one of my best like camps that I ever went to. And like,
you were showing out that day,
did my thing. And from then on, like, Coach Rick and Coach Mora were even saying like we want to like offer you, but we can't because we haven't seen you play like actual linebacker, whatever. Right. So fast forward, it's probably like a week or two after. And Brick is like on me, like calling me and telling me every few days, like I'm really excited about me, like da da da, like I want you this and that, but he's like waiting, you know, for Coach Mora or whatever. And then like, I think, yeah, like something like a few weeks later, I get the call like, oh, like we're offering you. And I was like, I'm committing today. Like I wanted to stay local a lot because my grandparents, both my grandparents were still alive at the time before they wanted to be with the Lord. But I wanted to be somewhere close so they could come see games.
Yeah.
So it made sense. Pasadena, I mean, is like, you know, the closest place to the Inland Empire for your grandparents to come watch you play.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So I remember I was on the phone. Coach Brick told me that. Coach Mora calls me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm committed right now. And I called my dad. I told him, like,
you didn't even talk to your dad.
No, I already had it made up in my mind. But the thing is, like, my dad wanted me to make the decision for me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, he always, like, encouraged me for, like, you know, what things to look for, you know. But he didn't tell me he wanted me to stay close, or he didn't tell me, you know, what schools he wanted to. Like I said, he's a SE guy. Mm-hmm. So he didn't want to push anything on me because I could have, if I you know, a lot of schools around the country, I mean, had interest in me, and they were just pretty much waiting on me to play. So I was getting interest from, you know, Tennessee's, Oklahoma's, Notre Dame's, like, you know, Vanderbilt, like some pretty big schools and around the country. And like I said, Stanford was another one. They just, Stanford being Stanford, they kept asking me to retake my SAT.
Oh.
I had a 4.3 GPA in high school.
Like, yeah, I remember that about you. You always were pretty solid academically. But having to so you already took it once and they want you to retake
I took it as a sophomore. And then, my mom had signed me up something for my junior. I didn't know. Like, it was a day I wasn't ready, and I just took it anyways. And I was like, my score at the time was like a 1600 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is good to get into like any school other than Ivy League. And I remember because the Ivy League schools were coming too.
Oh, wow.
And like, I'm getting like handwritten from like Harvard and Yale and all this other stuff.
Princeton
and, like,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're telling me like, if you want to come here, like, we're just going to need you to retake your SAT. And it's like, I know I could have retaken it and probably gotten higher, but it was just like, I just, as a kid. And the thing that really got me off of them, the Yale coach was coming a lot, right? He was coming. It felt like every week he was coming to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And then one time I asked him, I was like, what are your thoughts on if I was able to play both ways? Because I was seeing the caliber of no diss to any of the Ivy League schools for football, but I just felt like I could play both ways. Like I've seen Miles Jack doing it at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a super, super athlete, you know, and I got to witness it when I was at UCLA. But I'm thinking for the Ivy League, I could play a little bit of running back and linebacker. Like I thought I could do it. And he kind of laughed about it. And like, I remember at that point, I was
that
like,
was it, huh?
Hey, yeah, I was like,
So look, I've never been recruited. I was like negative zero stars, right? Like no one was ever looking at me coming out of Downey High School. I was like 5'2", if that, barely over 100 pounds my junior and senior year. So there's no way at all that I could relate to being recruited, but I can only imagine being in your situation and you have all these schools, you have to kind of find reasons where it's like, yeah, let's cross this one off. And if a school like that, like if they're not willing to take you seriously, or they, you know, if like you're coming at them with something like, hey, if you guys are interested in me as a player, and then you kind of say, hey, I'm interested in doing that, and then they laugh in your face, like, yeah, I'd cross them off my list too. Like that's a no go for me too if they're not about it.
Yeah, so it was just like, oh wow, that's how you feel. Okay, all right. Don't come back no more.
Right. Did you tell him that, or do you not answer the phone?
I told one of our coaches,
mm-hmm.
and I told him how I felt. I was like, I kind of felt disrespected on the way that he laughed at me. So like,
it just stopped after that.
I don't really. I was like, yeah. Can you tell him like I'm not really interested no more?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was a
big that's the way to go about it. Yeah.
But at that point, I also understood that I was pursuing football as a career.
Yes.
And I knew that if I wanted to pursue going to an Ivy League school, I was kind of putting football. I mean, there's a few guys that have come in out of the Ivy League. The linebacker Foye, I don't know his last name, who just signed a big deal with the Jaguars. He was with the Falcons. He's a Yale guy.
But it's rare though. It's like,
as I'm saying, it's really rare. Yeah. The same thing was with military school.
I was going to say just like the military service.
One of my teammates and one of my good friends, Elijah Jones.
Yes. Yes.
He chose to go the Navy route and he's doing really good and successful and excelling in, you know, the Navy now. But I remember just like, cause he was either Ivy League or military school.
Mm.
But he understood what he was signing up for. And I was like, I don't think I want to give up on pursuing, you know, football. Like, I want my priority to be, football and not, because I mean, when they were talking about Yale, they're like, yeah. And during the summers, like you're going to be interning in New York. And, you know, this is how we set up guys for jobs and this and that. And I'm like, that is great. But I don't think I would be personally happy doing that.
Yeah.
You know, like I wanted, you know, summers to be, because I'm saying like, yeah, like their summers, they don't have football training like that. And also like their scholarship situation is different. There's no actual scholarship. It's based on how much your parents make.
Oof.
Like sports can help you get in.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're signing.
Gotcha.
You know, so
I didn't really know that. So that I know that makes sense now, but. No, so here's the thing. Maybe I didn't, you know, I really had no interest. Again, all of my uncles and stuff, they were all USC all the time. Like they didn't really talk about UCLA unless it was like UCLA USC game week. But the thing I've learned from covering UCLA, and I give Chip a lot of credit for this. Not that Jim Moore and other coaches and stuff haven't done this, but I can tell from Chip Kelly, he always, at least it comes across as like, he always thinks at the not thinks of the athletes as not just athletes first, but as students. But also there seems to be a lot of pride. And I see this a lot from someone like Chase Griffin, that we're the number one public university, right?
Yeah.
And who Chase better Griffin, than
great? Yes.
Yes.
Chase Griffin, great guy. Hopefully, like I said, one day he's gonna be the president of the United States.
You guys call him Mr. Wasn't that his nickname or something? Mr. President or
president? I will vote for Chase Griffin one day. It's just the way that he carries himself and the way he handles his business and presents himself. He has that like Obama-esque, you know, like
there's just something. There's just that
the energy, the professionalism and the way he carries himself. But he's also like, I mean, a really cultured and cool guy. Like he's not, a robot with it, but
right.
Like he's just a great, he's a great guy.
And actually when you were talking, I was trying to think like, I think he might've had like Ivy League offers too or something. I think he might be the guy I'm thinking. Cause there was like someone.
I believe it.
Who like, I'm like, yeah, he had like, it was like maybe yeah, I mean, UCLA. There's been quite a few guys.
There's been quite a few guys because like I said, like UCLA is at the top.
Oh, for sure. That's what I've learned. That's the thing I've learned. It's pretty elite.
UCLA sells itself. Like I was saying, like when it came to, I wanted it to be a top sports school and a top academic school. Mm-hmm. There's really only two that are on the level. SC might be third, but like UCLA and Stanford have the highest academics, athletics, and really culture and history, like in the country, as far as think about all of the heroes and the high caliber people.
Oh yeah, like that
you are Bruins.
You could just like walk,
the people that as I'm saying. And
I was gonna, have you ever walked on the campus and like seen someone maybe you weren't really expecting to
I've seen. That's the thing. Like people ask me this all the time. Like who is the? I can like name you a top person from probably every sport or industry. Wow. I have been with Tom Brady. I have gotten treatment next to Kevin Durant and talked to him before a draft. Oh, wow. I have walked outside and had Serena Williams wink at me, and I swear she winked at me. it was just me, and it was just her. I don't know why. It was at the perfect time. She was walking to the tennis courts, and I was leaving out of the back of the training room in Costa, and everybody knows those buildings are, it's like right next to each other. And she winked, and then it took a while for me to register who she was.
Right, because you don't expect to see that, let alone someone randomly wink like, at you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but you expect, being UCLA, you expect to see people, you just don't know who. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've seen Paul Pogba play on the soccer field. I've seen Justin Bieber out there. I've seen... you get... You're like where you are, Coach Pelton calls it Westworld. Mm-hmm. You are in between the richest and the best parts, you know, of the country as far as being Brentwood, Bel Air, Beverly Hills. So everybody uses UCLA for, I don't know what it like. People will come to UCLA just to be UCLA, not even like people are using like for sports and stuff. And of course, with the UCLA facility with Chip coming, I mean, there's NFL guys that use the fields and the weight room and stuff like that, like every day track, you know, some of the best people in track, like the Sydney McLaughlin, Allison Felix, like they're there every day training.
Go ahead.
The NBA teams, whenever they're playing, Lakers or the
Westbrook Clippers, just shows up, right? Like he'll just show up.
The summer stuff.
Yeah.
I saw the late great Kobe Bryant come to a girls basketball game. Mm-hmm. They're playing UConn. Like I've seen the highest celebrity, the highest athletes. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then academically, like we have some of the top professors like in the world. Like I had the Professor Jewett, who is the guy who led the study of Pluto not being a planet. He was
a word.
I had two classes with him. I'm saying like,
that's crazy.
And then like just the history of it as far as, I mean, MLK, you know, had a speech there, the Black Panthers were a big thing on campus. Two Black Panthers got killed on campus.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Like the history, there's so much history at UCLA. We created the internet. Like, you know, UCLA, like, first of all, UCLA should sell itself.
It already does. Yeah.
But then once, for a coach who's recruiting, I feel like it shouldn't be that hard to get a kid to come to UCLA, especially now with the name, image, and likeness.
Yes.
You're in LA, Hollywood. you know, the city, it, you know, all these big corporations and stars, like, I feel like, I mean, we're going to talk about this probably in later episodes.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely will. Yeah.
Between, I think, UCLA and USC with this whole transfer portal and kids coming for NIL, I mean, we should be the two powerhouses in the country for all student athletes, because I feel like the
it's LA.
Yeah. Like, you want to be a LA star. Right. You know, so.
But so you mentioned the facilities. You also mentioned Tom Brady. For me, the thing that I always find crazy is the fact that you'll have someone like Tom Brady just kind of out there one day. And sometimes that's what I love about when I would, when I'm out covering the team, is the practices are so early in the morning, but I'll stay all day and sometimes just kind of finished writing my story, doing my reporting. And then I just like walking around or just sitting in my car at the top of the structure, like kind of overlooking the field sometimes. Not that I've ever seen Tom Brady, but I know obviously there's all the videos of him on social media where he's always doing stuff that goes viral at UCLA, but you just never know what you may see. Or I always see all these tinted window SUVs and stuff, and I'm like, that's got to be somebody famous. Like, and I'll kind of like wait to see who it is, and I'm like, I don't know who it is, but I'm still pretty certain that's somebody famous. Like, it's always just kind of crazy. Like, I just like, you know, I'm waiting out the traffic as it is, so I'm just like looking to see, and like I see all these people, and it's kind of like what you said with Serena Williams. Like, it's like you kind of see somebody and you're like, maybe they look a little familiar, but you can't exactly like kind of put it together at the moment. And it's like sometimes like after the fact. But I remember Kyle Phillips saying recently, or I think it was like in a headline or an article I read, where he's like, oh yeah, like I ran into Bill Belichick at practice, because I think he spoke to the team. I don't know if it was the same reason, or, you know, like the Bengals were there for the Super Bowl. They spent the week at UCLA practicing. I'm sure the Patriots maybe did that several times when they, well, no, they weren't really in LA, but I think it's, I mean, like anytime there's a reason to come out that way.
If you're playing the Rams or the Chargers, right, teams will come through and practice there, or coaches will pop in, you know, for practice. And especially with it being Chip and his relationships with,
exactly,
you know, right, all these NFL guys, that's where true, they really care about what Chip thinks about players, about even just like coaching in general. Like I said, we've had Eric Spoelstra come
watch
practice.
And that's like kind of, that would be like super random. Like, I would not expect.
It, that's what I'm saying. I seen him and I was like, I know him. And then it was like, yeah, that's Eric Spoelstra. And it's like, like I was saying before, is like Chip is one of one, and people, you know, like I said, he's a figure in not only college football, but in, just sports, in sports, where his name is known. He's a household name, you know, so that people will come just to hang out with Chip Kelly.
Just to come catch a vibe or something, right? Like, that's what Russell Westbrook did when he became a Laker. The next day, he was at UCLA at football practice. Like, the very, like, he signed, I guess he was at Houston or wherever he was at the time. But, no, he wasn't Houston. I forgot where he was at. But, yeah, he gets traded or whatever. He's coming in. Again, I don't really remember. But I just know Westbrook was there. And I think we only have so much time to watch practice. So, it was, like, right after we left. Like, oh, Russell Westbrook was on. And then the social media team has videos and stuff. I'm like, what?
I don't think the media and y'all ever know the people that we have coming to practice. And the thing is, it's not even a distraction to us, though. It's like we had like Mark Wahlberg like at practice and then talk to us.
Yes.
You know, and it's like things like that. Like, there's like that stuff happens frequently. At any day. It could be.
Just random. Just because.
Some type of celebrity was in LA and, you know, they're East Coast and they know Chip from this and that, or they just wanted to see practice and they are there watching practice. And the thing is, like, I think it becomes so regular for us that we don't even, it's not even, I don't know, it doesn't affect us. Like, we're still being locked into what we're doing. As far
it's
as
hard, like, it's hard to get starstruck anymore when you've kind of seen it all, like, at that point, right?
Yeah, when you're shaking hands with you know, Holly Holmes and people, it's just like, you know, it didn't really affect us. It was pretty awesome, like I said, but it wasn't even a distraction. And like I'm saying, it wasn't getting like posted all over the place.
And I definitely would have been. But I think that's why they wait till we leave, because I wouldn't make a too big video, but I'm just like, oh, you know, brand new Laker, Russell Westbrook, just happens to be here on campus today watching football practice.
But it's the people you least expect, like Gary V's, like the, you know, it's like
Gary V would be awesome though. I think I was upset one day because I think it was like a day I didn't go. No, it was a day like I found out like after the fact, I'm like, Gary V was on campus, and like I was heavy into his like his content at the time and stuff, and I'm like, man, like that would have been it for me. Like Gary V's hilarious to me. But just dudes like that, like again, yeah. A lot of people probably don't even know who Gary V is, but then there's probably other people on the team who are like, oh my God, like Gary, you know, Gary V. Real quick, we have a few minutes left. Do you have maybe a quick story about your time at UCLA? We were talking a little bit about it before. Obviously, we both live in the IE to some degree, but you spent some time early on at UCLA in San Bernardino, and then all of a sudden these facilities are there on campus. Can you just tell me a little bit about that and the timeline for you and how much you've seen it change just within the football program?
I mean, at one point, I was the longest tenured Bruin.
You were.
On campus or on in the football facility, as far as the only person who was there as long or like in my whole window was the trainers and the video staff. So like all the coaches had even if they came back, like Coach Foster was there when I first stepped on campus spring 2015. But he had left and then came back. I played and got coached by Jerry Neuheisel.
Right.
So going from being a teammate to being a player under him was cool to see. But it's like the way he is now is how he was. Like he already had that coach vibe, that leader vibe to him.
Son of a coach.
It wasn't much of a difference. Like he already sounded like his dad. So he stepped into that naturally. What else?
In the Wasserman facility, like you seen, like you guys just start practicing there, like what, your sophomore, junior year?
Junior year. So it was promised to, I think, the class, two classes before us, that the facilities would be done. They didn't break ground until that class was graduating. And then we got it and moved into it our junior year, and it wasn't even done yet. So we went from having camp, I mean, still using those fields to going to camp for San Bernardino and then practicing on the IM field while it was getting built. And then we finally got the facility, and then with Chip, loved it. And then the hotel being built too, we just stayed in that area all the time. So, I mean, I've seen, like I said, I've seen facilities built. I've seen coaches come and go. I've seen players come and go. And like I said, I was the longest tenured. I had been there longer than everybody, so I think like I embodied like what like the Bruin culture was for a while. Having been there so long, I, you know, it meant a lot to me.
That's great stuff, Josh. No, I really appreciate you not only doing this podcast with me, but for sharing a little bit of your story and you know, answering some of the questions that I had for you, just kind of regarding your journey from Upland to UCLA. And maybe in the next couple episodes or so, we'll learn a little bit more about what you're up to next. But yeah, man, again, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. And any thoughts for the podcast or for the people listening at home before we go?
Just excited, I mean, to be doing this. And I mean, we're going to keep it, I feel like, real, as far as we're not going to be, you know, overly biased. We are, you know, like I said, I'm a Bruin alumni, so that makes me a Bruin fan. But at the same time, I know like the reality of the sport. I know the reality of the team, and I want the best for the program, the best for UCLA in general. So I just hope for the future, you know, people don't get too mad at us, even though if we're just being honest, you know, I'd rather it be real, genuine, and the truth than, I mean, to be, you know, sugarcoated for, you know, Bruin fans only.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, and hopefully, you know, those who have stuck around and have an understanding of college football, just they'll know how it goes. Right. And I think for me as someone, you know, I kind of have I lean very heavy on my media background. So for me, I always try to stay in the middle on everything and just kind of look at it from both perspectives, right or wrong. And, you know, if I feel like something's going the right way, I'll be sure to say that. But, you know, if things are looking a little ugly, we'll be sure to address some of that.
I'm gonna have some hot takes where it's how I feel, and I mean, people may agree or not agree, but understand it's coming from, I mean, a brewing heart. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Where, like I said, I mean, if things aren't how I feel they should be, or to a standard that I feel UCLA should be at, then I'm gonna voice my concerns. And now, as an alum, you know, I'm not so much restrained or held back of, you know, having my own opinion outside of the teams. And then, like, my opinion won't tarnish the team or the reputation as it may have before. So now I can be completely honest for myself. So
yeah, no, and I like, again, I think that's the most important thing, right? And you kind of said it there. We're gonna keep it real and honest, and sometimes the fans may not agree with us, or they may agree with us, but I think that's the one thing I love about doing podcasting, especially with this one. And again, you shared some of your story with us, and so I think that adds a whole lot of credibility to what this podcast is, and you being able to use your experiences to kind of evaluate and analyze certain situations when it comes to UCLA football. With that being said, we also want to be interactive with you guys as well, when it comes to your guys' thoughts about the team and everything going on throughout the offseason and into the college football season for UCLA football. So, Josh, where can they go and find you at on social media if they wanted to reach out to you with questions or maybe do a little bit of ranting about a hot take you may have had?
You can let me hear it on Twitter at @_Woodsy_J and Instagram @Woodsy_J. So
and the same goes for me. You can let me know how you guys are feeling as well. And if you guys have interesting points or questions, we'll be doing some sort of Q&A stuff episodes as well. Feel free to reach out to me as well at @JHWReporter. And we'll have everything you guys need regarding UCLA football, whether it's on the field, off the field, and everything in between. With that being said, we appreciate you guys tuning in, giving us a listen. Make sure you subscribe, like, follow, wherever you are on your favorite platform and podcast streaming service. Let us know. This has been Believe in UCLA Football, episode 2, and we look forward to so many more episodes for you guys in the near future. Thank you so much.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.